of the word of God cannot be negated, cannot be belittled, cannot be reduced. The truth of the word of God will always stand, irrespective of who is fighting against it. This morning, I want to teach from a book which I just wrote. It's a book called 12 Pillars for Perpetuating Wealth. 12 Pillars for Perpetuating Blessing and Wealth in Your Life. I wrote this book because the Lord opened my eyes to see that in the body of Christ, even as we are coming out of lack, limitation, and financial battles, we are not building things that can stay for 3-4 generations. And whereas Proverbs 13 verse 22 says, a righteous man shall leave an inheritance for his children's children. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. In other words, that scripture jumped one generation. It didn't say a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. It says for his children's children. Because if I leave things for my children, that is assumed that it will happen. But if I leave enough blessing so that at least 2 generations, 3 generations, 4 generations are blessed, then I have made an impact on the coming generation. The wealth of a man, the blessing of a man should not be measured by the car he drives. It should be measured by the impact he makes with evangelism and with his family. So this morning, let's look at Psalm 112 from verse 1 to 6. Psalm 112 from verse 1 to 6. In this book, I try to take you from why we lack to 30 things about wealth creation in the Bible, on and on until you create the wealth, and then how to manage what God provides for you, how not to lose it, how to keep your heritage, including 50 reasons why young and old, everybody should write a will. Young people never like to hear about writing wills. In fact, Christians don't like hearing it. And they don't know that the word will means what you will want if you pass on today. I have cousins who have left children and there was no plan. And in case you don't know, the government have written one for you. We'll come to it later. Psalm 112 from verse 1 to 6. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed, this is your seed now. This is the word of the Lord concerning you and your seed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Did I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
The generation of Tremites shall be blessed.
Amen.
Oh, come on, say better amen.
Amen.
In other words, the generations that will come out of you will be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches will be in his house. His righteousness will endure forever. In other words, why did he say his righteousness will endure forever? 2 men, I think I quoted them in this book, were born the same time in America. One of them was a man who produced a generation of robbers, killers, destroyers, thieves, prostitutes, all you can think of. The other one, his name is a preacher. His name was something Edwards. I think it's Jonathan Edwards. And I'm quoting this book how that college presidents came out of him. Senators came out of him. One vice president, I don't know if somebody remember a vice president whose name was Edwards, came out of him. In fact, I met a Foursquare director of missions, Leland Edwards, who came out of this man. And Leland Edwards himself was the son of a pastor. Leland Edwards' son went on to pastor. And Leland Edwards' grandson is right now a Foursquare pastor. So many generations of the blessed came out of one man who was born the same time as the second man I quoted in the book. I tried not to even remember his name, even though it's in the book, because nothing good came out of him. Something awesome is coming out of your family. In the name of Jesus. Verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. In other words, there will always be ideas, illumination in your family. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. Verse 5, a good man shows favor and lendeth. I don't know about you. I did not come from the lending family. I came from the borrowing family. My father was a soldier in the mami market. If the places where we bought things, they have a book for us. They just open the book. And we start buying book me down, book me down. End of the month, by the time my father finishes with his salary, there's only change for the next month. So we were never balanced. So the Bible says a good man will show favor and lend. Your children will be in the lending generation. Amen. You need to say amen to that too. Because you've got to understand, money is currency. Oh, I left it in my bag. Money is currency. It flows. It has a current. Money has a current. That's why we call it currency. Some people's currency is low current. Some people's currency is high current. So I pray that God will give you high current. That's why they call money currency, because it flows. Now, even the flow, you are either where it is flowing away from or where it is flowing to. If it is flowing to you, you become a lender. If it is flowing away from you, you become a borrower. I pray for your family that you'll be the lending family. Amen. Shout a better amen.
Amen.
And you become a lender. The Bible says he will guide his affairs with discretion. Whatever God provides for him, he manages it. He knows how to handle what God has provided. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. So we see from scripture that God wants to prosper the believer. He wants him to have generational blessing, generational wealth, generational increase. Because of time, and because I wanted to do as much as possible, let me see, maybe instead of going through my notes to do, just using the chapters of the book, then I sometimes refer to the note. In this book, I wrote some reasons why people do not create wealth. And I wrote different reasons. Number one, some have an attitude towards wealth. They think, oh my God, if I have too much money, it will make me backslide. Ah, you have not seen the money that will make you backslide though. I pray for you that uncommon wealth will come into your hands. In fact, it is when wealth comes into your hand that you are able to do a lot of good. You are able to make impact. You are able to touch lives. You are able to make a difference. Praise God. You are able to reach people. The reason why some people also do not create wealth is because they are busy doing a study on wealth or on poverty. They are busy doing a study on poverty. You cannot believe it. Most universities around the world, they are busy in poverty studies. Why is there poverty in Africa? Why is poverty in Ajegunle? Why is poverty in this place? No, stop teaching us the appearance of poverty. We can see it with our eyes. Show us how to come out of it. Praise God. Another reason for lack of wealth is that some people say, money changes people. If money comes into my hand, it might just change me. No, money does not change people. Money takes on your character. Money becomes what you are. Imagine money in my hand this morning. It will take on my character as a pastor, as a teacher, as an author. Then when I take the money and go to maybe the mall in Lekki, if they use it to make change and they gave a drug addict, straight away the money takes on the character of the drug addict. It becomes drug money. The drug addict in the evening went to some dance hall or some hangout place late night. He uses it to buy beer. It becomes beer money. At the end of the day, some prostitute comes there. The guy who was working the beer place used the money to go to the prostitute. It becomes prostitution money. So money takes on the character of the owner.
Money in the hand of a stingy man becomes stingy money. Money in the hand of a blessed person knows that this thing will touch lives. The reason some people also don't create wealth is because they have wrong belief. Wrong belief. They'll say, why are these people teaching us to be prosperous? Jesus was born in a borrowed manger. He rode a borrowed donkey. He ate his meal in a borrowed house. And when he died, he was buried in a borrowed grave. All that is true. But you should also realize that when he was born, kings came looking for him. How many kings? Three? How many kings? No, you said three kings. You said three kings already. You see? Europe tried to shape our mind according to their own way. They did Christmas card that showed three men carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh looking for Jesus. Can you imagine the Obi of Onitsha travel alone? Is it possible? No, there will be an entourage. When the king of the Ashantis came to KRCC London, he had 10 trumpeters, not to talk of the chiefs that followed him. In fact, the day was a bit embarrassing. I said, which one am I? How am I going to handle this one? You are telling them not to make noise. They are saying, our king is here. They are blowing the trumpet. Jesus have mercy. So these three kings traveled for miles. Do you think they were carrying small toys and saying, ta la la, la 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 la? No. They came in thousands with boxes of gold. Boxes of frankincense and boxes of myrrh. Not some tiny little thing they drop in his lap. No. That is why Jesus had so much to take care of all his apostles. Not one of them was in lack. He had so much, he had a treasurer. If there's no treasure, there cannot be treasurer. Jesus had so much, the treasurer was stealing from the treasury. And nobody knew. Are you following me? Jesus had so much, he paid all the apostles. Their wives never carried a placard to come and protest. I said, we no go agree, oh, we no go agree. Pay our husbands, we no go agree. The apostles' wives never did that. Rather, when Jesus showed up at the home of the in-laws of Peter, they were excited. The boss is here. The man who pays our son-in-law well is here. Praise God. So please, some people have painted pictures that are not true. So let's go again to the next chapter. The next chapter talks about how to break the poverty mindset. What is a mindset? When they were building this building, I can imagine the number of trucks of cement that came here. Oh, Luwariri. You know, to come out of the marshy ground. I remember this place. This place was a serious marshy ground. So, to make this place happen, they had to use so much concrete. As soon as it is poured, within 1 hour, what happens? It becomes set. Many people are poor because they have a poverty mind set. So even if you put thousands in their hand, the mind is already set so that you need to break the mind before they can receive anything. Let me tell you the truth. There is a mindset of rich people and there is a mindset of poor people. Let me show you. Rich people are always trusting. Poor people are always skeptical. Poor people suspect everyone. They fear everything. You say, come and buy this thing. They say, you want to rip me off. Rich people find success all the time. Poor people, they find fault. They find fault with the environment. They find fault with the circumstance. They find fault with the job. They find fault with the weather. They find fault with the government. They find fault with everything. Listen to them on radio every day. Every one of them has a suggestion. Even the one that cannot work. Rich people ask questions. Poor people make assumptions. They think they know. Most of the breakthrough come from people who are raising questions. Solutions are coming from people who are raising questions. Isaac Newton sat under a tree. An apple dropped. He asked the question, why did the apple drop? What pulled it? That's how he discovered the law of gravity. Moses asked the question, why is the bush on fire and not burning? Moses had an inquiring, analytical mind. If he's a Nigerian, he'll say, bush they burn. Bush, fire they bush. He no catch fire. Oh boy, me, I want to leave this place quick, quick, go. Maybe Nahamadio has sent the fire herself. But Moses said, I will turn and see this great sight. When rich people hear there is a problem in an area, they are thinking of what money can come out of the place. Poor people, they are thinking of how to run away. When you hear IDP in Maiduguri, poor people are saying, me, anything will go carry me, go Maiduguri, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. Rich people, they are saying, they must need water there. They must need food. Did you know the government is feeding 200,000 people in Maiduguri right now? And they have to give them water every day. Somebody is supplying 200,000 bottles of water in the morning, 200,000 bottles of water in the afternoon, 200,000 bottles of water in the evening. How much is 200,000 bottles of water at 50 naira per bottle? Somebody help me to quickly work it out. Huh? It's something like 100,000? Huh? No, it can't be 100,000. It's 1 million naira. 10 million naira in the morning. In the afternoon, 10 million. In the evening, 10 million. How much have you made in one day? In 30 days, what will you make? 900 million. Oh, Sanobua. That's the man supplying the water. How about the one who supplies the food? Do you know anywhere there's a crisis, it is somebody's opportunity. My father fought in Congo and Cameroon during their own uprising in the 60s as a soldier. And when they will come back from the Congo uprising and Cameroon, they will come back with canned egusi soup. They were canning egusi soup and taking to them there because the soldiers in Congo, they said, we don't want your wedding and a job here. Give us egusi and a bar. They had canned jollof rice in 57, 58 was Congo. 58 to 62 was Cameroon. They would come back with canned egusi. So as the people had uprising, somebody is smiling in Nigeria. Canning, and they had 22,000 Nigerian soldiers on the ground in Congo. Every time there's a crisis somewhere, the rich see the opportunity. The poor are trying to run away. Tell your neighbor, change your mindset. Rich people say we. Poor people say them. Look at them. Look at their car. Look at their house. Look at their life. Rich people will say my vision, our dream, where we are going. Poor people, they are always saying, look at them. We don't know what they are doing with this nation. Rich people will want the best way. Poor people prefer the cheapest way. Rich people want the best way. Poor people want the cheapest way. They don't know that anything a wealthy man is doing, he's seeing the opportunity. You tell them how much you buy your business class ticket or first class, they say, the aeroplane, that side of the plane will arrive first. No, it won't arrive first. It's just that we arrive in different condition. Some people arrive, they never arrive yet. Their body no arrive. Praise God. Did you hear of the man
was coming to Nigeria, he buy economy ticket. As he, they walk up past business class, come see how the place nice, sit down there. They beg him, no green leaf. They beg him, beg him, beg him, no green leaf. One man, we don't sit down for back. Come meet them for front. Say, why would I not want to leave now? He say, your brother, he buy economy, sit down for business. We don't beg him for one, I no green. He just whisper for the man. Yeah, the man carry him back, wrong go economy, quick, quick. They come meet and say, what thing you say to him? He said, I just told him that that part of the plane is not going to Nigeria. You know, no matter how we beat Nigeria, we like our country. Hey! If you see Nigerians abroad, no matter what, they still want to know what thing they happen for Niger. No matter what, they still want to come back home. They don't tire. All those people they abroad, they don't tire. Rich people respect time more than money. Poor people think money is more important than time. They don't realize that you can lose 250 pounds and get it back. But you cannot lose 250 hours and get it back. If you can't respect time, you cannot make wealth. If you have wasted hours, just sit down, just chilling, not doing anything, you cannot be blessed. I was in Benin Airport one time, the plane was delayed for 4 hours. Everybody was there complaining, some were sleeping. I just brought out my dictaphone and my iPad. Before the plane arrived, I dictated a full book. In fact, by the time the plane was arriving, I was at the conclusion. I was hoping it would delay another 20 minutes so I can finish my book. Rich people create, poor people compete. You see poor people, they compete with each other. You buy carpet, I buy carpet. You buy car, I buy car. You wear red, I wear red. But rich people, they refuse to be boxed in. They create their own world. They invent their own world. They trade their hours for quality money. They are always creative. They are always thinking. They are always looking up for things they will do. Poor people are always competing with somebody, with one another. Rich people celebrate and enjoy their blessing. Poor people, they condemn, complain, criticize. They condemn everybody, they complain, they criticize. They don't know how to celebrate what God has given them. They've never taken their children or family out once to go and eat outside. You say, buy food outside. No way. When I know how much they sell chicken. That's why any young lady who is dating a guy, if he manages to take you to a restaurant, watch him. If he's looking to the right, he's looking at the price. If he's looking to the left, he's looking at the food. Take you there. As soon as he saw the price, they said, chicken breast, 5,000 naira. Chai! My sister, I'm feeling led that we should go somewhere else. You were not led, you are lying. Rich people celebrate and enjoy. Poor people condemn, they complain, they criticize. In the end, they don't enjoy even their own family. They don't enjoy their children. The child drinks too much of the orange juice, they condemn. They don't know that one day this child will grow and leave home. Then you'll be left with all your orange juice. Drink all. In fact, smoke it. You know, I have two boys who are now married. We have a house with 5-bedroom, 3-reception, massive house on 1/2 acre in the United Kingdom. The house feels empty. Now that I'm not home, my wife is the only one in the house. Sometimes when I'm there, she's away in Paris preaching. And at the time, you go come to say, your children are important. Because our houses are made of wooden floor. Sometimes you could hear the creaking at midnight. You say, who is there? Nah, lie, nah, you alone, they home.
Rich people seek expert advice. Poor people seek amateur advice. You know, you can be rich in Nigeria and behave poor. You do self-medication, you feel small thing, you think it's in a malaria, you don't go. You say, give me dagger, two dagger, and three panadol. Who told you it's malaria? A bishop died last year, or early this year. Went for a check in UI, they gave him medicine to handle some pain. The doctors there made mistake. They didn't tell him, just use three times and stop. They gave him impression he should keep using. He kept using and using and using, and pain increased. When he managed to go to England, he managed to go to a private doctor. They said, you have 2 weeks to live. It had damaged his internals. The pastor in London recently, I kept feeling strong to call him. When I called, he said, thank you for calling me, sir. I've been in serious pain. I've not even been able to preach because I don't know what it is. My hospital, my doctors are saying there may be some trace of maybe something that looked like a cancerous cell. Initially, they were saying it is peptic ulcer. I said, I know you. I know that the church can help you. They can afford to send you to a private doctor because NHS is free. You are hanging on NHS. I am a taxpayer in the UK. My tax is 40%. I don't use the private free hospital in England because it has downgraded a bit. I said, go to a private doctor. When he got there, they told him he will have died. He had strange illness. His lung had 1.5 pints of water, 1.5 pints of fluid. They found cancer on his chest, and they said, cancer is never on the chest. That this is strange. We don't know whether it's some arrow from somewhere, but at least it is better to prevent than to cure. He was looking for cheap. Now he's saying, sir, I thank you. I thank you for screaming on me to go where to go. Yes, God wants you to create wealth, but you should be alive to enjoy it. You shall live long. Amen. I said you will live long. Amen. Number nine or ten. Rich people have great libraries. Poor people have big television. Rich people, they have libraries, they have books, they are always reading, they are always buying new things, they are always informing their mind, they are always sharpening the edge of their mind. Every week, or sometimes twice a week, I download a book into my iPad. Every major airport I go through, I find books that I've never had, I'll buy it. Even in the traffic just now, I'm an addict buyer of Castle magazine because I believe in real estate. Because the only estate that is real estate. Other estates are not real. Every day, it's just me. Every day. But poor people, they'll be boasting about the size of their television and the size of their music center. And that's all they have. You go to poor areas where even to get to the next house, you have to go through somebody's backyard. Still, you will find DSTV satellites on top of their house. They will be screaming, we are poor people, but they are making 10,000 naira contribution every month to somebody in South Africa. They do not realize some things you need to delay until you are ready to show that you have it. Are you getting something this morning? But then, the third chapter of this book talks about insights on wealth creation. 30 insights. Let me give you just about 4 or 5. Insight number one says, the Bible offers 500 scriptures on prayer and fasting, but has no less than 2,000 on biblical economics. What do I mean? I don't know if you know, I'm the only pastor who has produced a prayer Bible, the Power of Positive Prayer Bible, with 15,000 prayer points inside, 26 lessons on prayer. But even then,
There are only 500 and below scriptures on fasting and prayer in the Bible. But there are over 2,000 Bible verses on finance, on economics. God speaks more about money and land than he talked about prayer. But prayer makes us feel spiritual. And money makes us feel like, oh my God, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Whereas God, there is no covenant. I have not reached land yet, but let me say it. There is no covenant God signed without giving land along with it. Edenic covenant, when he signed with Adam, he gave him the garden. Noahic covenant, when he signed with Noah, that will no longer destroy the earth with water, he gave him land. Abrahamic covenant, when God signed the covenant with Abraham, the covenant of promise, he gave him land. Genesis 13, lift up your eyes now and see, for the land which I will give you shall be for you and your children forever. Number four, Mosaic covenant. The covenant he signed with Moses as he came out of Egypt. He said, I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And then the covenant of grace. God gives us a new Jerusalem, a new city, a new place. And even one day in the 1,000 year of reign of Christ on earth, we also will own this place totally by believers. So every covenant God signs, he backs it with wealth, with abundance. He kept telling his people, like I told you, I'm jumping in my notes. In your Bible, 1,641 times, the Bible will mention the land. The land that I'll give you, the land that I'm taking you, this land, land. 1,641 times. So it means that it is of importance to God Almighty. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, somebody say better amen. Amen. So we see that God wants you to know to come out of lack, but to know how to create wealth. The second point I made out of 30 in this book is that Jesus spoke many parables. He spoke 37 parables. 23 out of the 30, out of the 37 were on finance, which means 61% of Jesus' parables had to do with finance. 61% of Jesus' parables had to do with finance. Many of the parables we use as preachers to bring souls to Christ have to do with finance. Give me some parables. Huh? The parable of the sower is economics. The man was a farmer and he was wasting some seed by sowing in the wrong place. The parable of the talent is not the talent to dance or sing. The parable of the talent in Bible times, a talent was like a gold bar, and it was worth today's money $547,000. So the man who buried one talent buried $547,000. Is somebody hearing me? He buried $547,000. He buried, when the Dantata family, when Dangote's mom married into Dantata family to help Dangote at the age of 17, they gave him $500,000. So what has become 15 billion personal wealth of Dangote, not to talk of his company, was $500,000. The same amount one man buried is what another man used to become the wealthiest black person on earth. Is somebody hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? So Jesus spoke parables that are having to do with economics. In fact, in one chapter in the Bible, Luke chapter 15, Jesus spoke three parables: lost son, lost silver, and lost sheep. S, son, silver, and sheep.
The lost son was the prodigal son who went to his father and said, Papa, the way you go to gym every day, no looks like say you want that quick. I can't wait for you to die and then they read your will. I want my own inheritance now. So that is economics. The parable of the lost sheep. The man left 99 to go and look for one. That is, he left the capital to go and look for the prophet. The parable of the lost silver or coin. In Bible times, women had ways they had to distinguish themselves for us to know a married woman, a single woman, a virgin, or a prostitute. That's why the Bible will say attires of an harlot. A married woman had to put her dowry on her gele. So that when you saw it, you knew that, make you no whistle for this one. Oh, somebody don't marry her. It was similar to the Yoruba culture, where the Yorubas, the woman will call her husband Olowo Orimi, because the money is on her head. And also with the Jews, they put the money on the head. But the woman, when she lost the money, she searched for it. Because Jesus taught a lot about finance. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The greatest source of wealth creation is the light available to you. If light is not available to you, there's a limit to what you can do. If light does not shine in your path, there's a limit to what you can do. Many are operating with only one light. So that's why they are not doing anything. They are not making any difference. But when you begin to allow light to shine in your way, your life begins to change. Your story begins to change. Your future begins to manifest. You know, some people only switch on one light and they don't realize. You need to switch on all the lights for wealth to shine in your way, for wealth to come into your life. You need to know, what should I do? How do I come out of indebtedness? How do I come out of this problem? What do I do? The next part of my book, the next chapter talks about stop wasting resources if you are going to create wealth. Many of the ways we waste resources, for example, number one is gambling. I know that we should not expect that in the church, but you cannot be sure sometimes nowadays. Somebody see Baba Jebu money. And they promise him 10 million. If he just try one time, you will see somebody they try and he's speaking into a lemo shotaka brala karebo rototo. As we were driving here, I saw on the back of the van, they were advertising a new betting site. I think so many licenses must have been given in recent times. Because I'm seeing different names of betting companies. That was what I can tell you openly. That was what ruined my own family. Because that was all my father did with 30 years in the Nigerian army. Every day he put his money, staking it on pools. For those who are older here, they will remember when the pools betting was based on football played in England. And my parents, they didn't know the airport. But they'll sit down by radio on Saturday 12 noon waiting for the football news. There was no television to show it. Doncaster 1, Darlington 1, a draw. They'll say Oyinbo don't die this week. But now then they die, Oyinbo they smile. 30 years of salary from 1948 to 1967 was all lost in pool staking. My father died by the Asaba Bridge during the war. Many people also lose money borrowing on credit cards. Some lose money subscribing to unimportant media. Some lose money in unnecessary insurance policies. Some lose money involving in get-rich-quick scheme. MMM. May God deliver you. All of you who have lost money, we pray for you. The devourer will devour. There shall be restoration. Make you say amen. Even Christians, churches carried their money, went and threw in MMM. But let's even leave MMM. Let's talk about multi-level marketing.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming home now. Because there are many of them in the church. They know we in the church are very trusting. So they will say to you, if you join this thing, if you buy our product, you begin to sell, you'll be on level one. Within 6 months, you'll be on level three. Within 2 years, you'll be on level 12. One day, when you are on level 12, money will flow. All the people you introduce, their money will be coming to you. You will even, one day they'll give you an aeroplane.
I can guarantee you two or three things. Number one, you have never met anyone you knew who got to level 12. They are always talking of this level, but you didn't see somebody you knew.
One young man whom I know works in the bank.
His mother put him under pressure to borrow money for her to keep putting in multi-level marketing because they told her she was rising. The only thing rising was her indebtedness. Because the boy was borrowing it from the bank. It's been 3 years since he left the bank. He's still paying the debt. Wants to wed. He can't wed yet because he's waiting to come out of the debt. I pray for him for victory. Is somebody hearing me? I say, are you hearing? Some lose money through blind donation to unknown persons. Don't let anybody fool you on the internet. Or send this money. We are representing Bishop Michael Poco. We are raising money for orphaning. They are lying. I think I've seen your disclaimer. I've seen your disclaimer. As you put one disclaimer today, they raise another one. As you pull that one down, put another disclaimer, they raise another one. Every day, they are so bold. People are in the bank working with them. They'll put account details. I saw one, I was laughing. He said his name is Lasisi Kazim, representing Matthew Ashimola. I said, Lasisi Kazim. When did I start using Lasisi Kazim? Many lose money also with investing with unfamiliar people. Unfamiliar people. You don't know them. You have no track record. You heard MMM. Anything that you can't see the end result and where the profit is coming from, then it's magical. Because MMM had no end result. They didn't say, we are using the money to invest in real estate in this place. As the real estate goes up, that is why your money will go. There was no end result. Which brings me to some of our very intelligent brethren in the house now who are getting involved in cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Where is the end result? Is the latest problem. And the day bubble will burst, I go laugh. Because now I'm warning believers. Cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. I don't even want to explain it. Because even me, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. And one man who, he see, say there's a way to make money on the internet. He can't create one kind of bank. The bank no get proper office. And this bank says, all of you are members of the bank. As you put things inside the bank, you can see who they use your money, whose money they use. What kind of story is that? And then they say, what is his own name? He says his name is something. He chose some Japanese name. Cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is going to be one of the biggest disasters. You will say, I said so. These are ways people lose their money. But I'm speaking to a people who are about to walk in on Commonwealth. Shout a big amen. People also lose their money by giving loans to family and friends. Family and friends. Nigeria is one of the places where in our culture, people will blackmail you if you don't help your relations. And if you help them, it's also a problem. You've got to find balance. Please, somebody scream balance. Have the money every year you intend to give to whether family or friend or people in need. Anyone else who comes. Uncle, you know you are my uncle. We came together now to this Lagos from Ezeam Obiato, and you're going to help me. You should not be watching your brother suffer. If I can just sleep in your house, live in your house for 6 months. No! 4 times underlined. No. If you want to live in my house, you'll be my gate man. Say me, uncle. Then your wife will be asking me to open the door. Of course. Oh, you want my wife to be respecting you? She's sweeping the house, you raise your leg. Many of us have hurt our family because we brought extended family. Your first responsibility in life is number one to God, number two to your family, number three to the church. Number four is extended family. Your family before the church. I say it as a pastor. Because if your family is okay, you will be okay. Then the church will be okay. Then my problem is half solved. I wouldn't have to be doing too much counseling. But many of us, or so that they will not say, so that not say, ah, Ontoba welenu lole fenu wanso. Let them say what they want to say. If you don't do it, they will say. If you do it, they will say. You went and loaned your brother money. He didn't pay. You want to sue him. Your mama will just march, come one day to Lagos. She will say, you won't kill me. I hope I'm making sense this morning. Don't loan relations.
Went to greet a cousin somewhere in Abuli Egba. On the street, there was this building they are selling. One woman just walking. Ah, pastor, we come to your church when we're in London. It'd be nice if you can buy that building and help your brother with it. He needs it. NAFDAC says he should not be baking bread in his house. She put me on the spot. And the guy was apologizing after he left, but it was later I kind of saw that it was a drama that was orchestrated. Because I had never seen her face in our church before. Anyway, I bought the building. But you see, my mama no raise mumu. I got lawyers to prepare a document that I give him to live there for 6 years rent free. 6 years rent free. At the end of 6 years, Bishop, the guy said he thought it was just 5 years now. I said, no, it's 6 years. I gave him another 6 months. It ended up being 6 years and 9 months. Then I get an anonymous text from his daughter. As blessed as you are. As blessed as you are. You bought a house for your brother. My brother. The guy is not my brother, he's my cousin. In fact, his father abused my father. You know, Yoruba say if a child refused yesterday's pounded yam, you go come tell a story. His father abused my father when my father was a soldier, came on holiday, went to farm with them, saw a pod of kola nut on the ground in their farm, picked it to eat. His father said, so you can eat kola nut. When we told you to come and have your own farm, now his son is prosperous, he's blessing you. So his daughter writes me, you took what you gave my father and you do so much for your wife's family. You bless them, you send their children to school. I can do what I like with my money, man. You know what I'm saying? She didn't put her name. So I now replied her and sent the reply to her and her father. I said, well, your father signed a contract of 6 years. He lived there for 6 years, 9 months. It was pro bono. It's a whole house, a bungalow. It was an agreement. If your dad didn't want it, he could have signed. Or he could have said he didn't want. She said, oh, I also came to you. I want to record music. You didn't help me. You showed up in KZC Maryland when I was preaching there on a Sunday. Daddy, I'm recording. I need 100,000. I said, I didn't know you were coming. Yes, 30,000. Take. I have tried. So I replied her, replied the father. Father got angry with her, of course, whatever. But when I decided to tear down the bungalow and build two duplexes there, when we came to build the duplex, his second wife, because he's a polygamist, decided to remove the pumping machine in the well there, which they bought for 20,000 naira. Family. My first responsibility is to God. My second is my nuclear family. Even my wife first, before my boys. I always announce and tell my boys, I even tell the church, I've written my will. Everything is bequeathed to my wife. So you boys, if you want anything, treat your mother right. As for my relations, what I can do, I do free. I have a brother, I have a sister. I bought them a house each. Just bought my brother a car. He works for me. He works for me in our university. I put my sister on salary. I give her money. I'm going to give her money for life. For life. Since God has chosen to bless me. But I'm not going to run out of town for nobody. Praise God. So you got a family and friends. As for friends, you must not give a loan that you are not ready to write off. Anything you give, Jesus said, if any man asks for you for trousers, put the jacket on top and let it go. Let me just quickly finish by sharing with you. How do you create wealth? Number one, get out of debt. Once you get out of debt, getting out of debt is a form of wealth creation. Because somehow you are writing away your zero equity. Number two, put aside reserve. Never should there be a month that you did not put aside reserve. Even if you are listening to me today and you are on a salary of 50,000 naira. If you can't save in the days of 50, you cannot save in the days of a million. And when I say reserve or saving, I don't want you to leave your money in savings account. I mean savings account. You need to look for an investment. If you drive away from here before you reach Badagry, they are still selling land for 300,000. It may look very far, buy it. Is somebody hearing me? I live in Okwebi. When I was a bachelor pastor, they asked me to come and buy land. It was a plot of land, 500 naira. I couldn't afford it. When it became 10 million was when I bought it. A plot next door to me was sold 4 years ago for 80 million. Now, somebody bought it 500, sold it to me 10 million. Me, I'm rejoicing. If someone wants to buy my land now, it's 120 million. Oh boy, I'm blessed. So it may look very far. Reserve something. Number three, lower your cost of living. Delayed gratification is a sign of maturity. Lower your cost of living. Don't show up. Don't prove to anybody anything. Have you met really wealthy people? You find that, in fact, their latest dressing now is t-shirt and a bad slippers. The slippers that is bad and t-shirt and jeans trousers. They don't dress with that too. So now you enter first class, you they fly, go New York. The people will come first class with you. You don't wear shoes or the wugong. Swell up, come inside the first class. They go show up with slippers. You go come, they feel like, say, wait, why I can't dress like a masquerade? Come here. Number four, increase your income. I can't finish anything, but let me show you. The Lord gave me this revelation recently. It's a whole teaching I'm doing next Sunday in London on how to increase your income. One of the things God showed me was that everything he does with extra, with reserve. Why are you on only one source of income when you have two eyes and you can do with one eye? You have two nostrils when you can breathe with one. You have two ears when you can hear with one. You have two lungs when you can use one. You have two kidneys
when you can actually use one. Actually, one arm can work. It's just that you have two. So, if you don't have an other source of income, what happens the day you lose this one? You will almost kill yourself. You will wonder if God is good. So today I pray for you. May your eyes be open. Amen. There's another source nearby, near you. May it open to you. Amen. Shout, I receive it. So God wants you to create various currents. Low currency, high currency, middle currency, once in a while currency. Some things don't bring money all the time. They bring once in 6 months. Some bring once in 1 year. But when they bring, it's like a flood. So I pray that all those doors will open for you. I said, I pray they will open for you. I declare and decree they will open for you. Number five, work your own hours. Nigerian labor law, global labor law, says employees or employers must not use you for more than 40 to 45 hours. But also, a survey has shown nobody becomes a real millionaire who works for less than 60 hours. So don't sit down, cross your leg because you are a teacher and you have closed by 3 p.m. From 3 to the time you sleep, look for something else. Start a lesson. You are a mathematical guru. Now, WAEC says, or rather university say, even if you want to study Igbo or Yoruba language in university, you must have credit in English and maths. Start a math school. You will be amazed. When children begin to score A's from your math school, I don't know how they score Nigerian, I think C, A or B or C. So if you score, if your children are scoring A, everybody will be directing their children to you. You'll be making more money from the lesson. There are various rivers around us. There are ideas God has given you, which you have been keeping. It is time for you to look for that idea and make it work for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then learn to negotiate. Never take anything anybody is selling to you by the price they mention. Chapter. Never take it. Abraham negotiated. Solomon negotiated. He went to King Huram. He said, my father was good to you when he was alive. He protected your country. Now we are building a temple for our God. We need wood. We need good wood. So, King Huram, please show us favor. The man said, the whole forest is in front of you. May favor rise for you. Shout a good amen. Next chapter in this book says, now when the business starts, make all businesses legal. I can't go through it, but I show you 10 ways for anything to be legal. Never buy land where the real person did not sign. Never do contract with your people. The man is not around. He said his secretary should sign for him. You have no contract. Unless his secretary in the article of incorporation of the company, unless the secretary has signing power, somebody signed on their behalf, you have no contract too. You have just parted with your money. Some guy said you should meet him in front of Ikeja Mall. He's selling a car to you. He gave you the car. He gave you one paper. He signed, you signed. You have no, how do you know who he is? There are 10 steps to know when a business is legal. The language must be right. And if there is conflict, it must be in the contract where you intend to settle your conflicts. Who is going to arbitrate? The language must be very clear. The reason there's a lot of arguments and people lose money is because they were signing, they were rejoicing, speaking in tongues, and not realizing they're doing the wrong thing. The next chapter is about real estate, and I love talking about land. There are close to 200 points on real estate in the book, but the one on land is the most powerful. Land was the thing God gave Adam. Land is the thing God gives you. This building was built with sand, cement, and mortar. If you take this building as it is, if you place it on Queens Drive, Ikoyi, the value will change. It is not the building that changed. It's the value of the land. If you take this building now and carry it somewhere and take it to my hometown in Ode Omu, Osun State, oh Jesus, have mercy. Oh Jesus, have mercy. First of all, they will ask you, are you okay? In fact, they will say it in Oshun to you, Segbadun. It's the location. Land is so powerful. Powerful. But you know, many of us, we want to first build in our village. I must have my own building. I must have my own building. Thank God for you. But I'm trying to tell you, if you want to create wealth, the opportunity is still there. I went to Bible school 43 years ago in Ikorodu. A classmate of mine passed away 3 years ago. They said he's in Ikorodu. So I decided to go visit his wife. I was going to the real Ikorodu. I didn't know I was still going another 2 hours. And they are still calling it Ikorodu. It was a village that did not exist when I was there. When I was in Ikorodu, land was almost like 5 shillings for a plot. Even today, you can still get for less than 1 million. In a few years' time, it's not going to go down. Lagos is not going to reduce. Why? Her Excellency Minister of Finance said 55% of Nigeria's VAT is paid in Lagos. VAT is the proof of business. His Excellency, General Obasanjo, past president, in my presence, in a private discussion, said 60% of Nigerian business is done in Lagos. So no matter how much Abuja grows, Lagos continues to grow because of its proximity to the sea, because of its source of transportation, because of its access to the rest of the South. So I pray for you. Lagos is not complete until you build your own house. Lagos is not complete until you own your own property. Until you break grounds in this land. Until you do well. Shout amen 3 times. After you build the real estate, after you started the wealth creation, the next chapter says, protect your wealth. And then the next chapter after that one says, protect your heritage. How do you protect your heritage? Have only few assets in your name. Keep most of them inside your company, inside your trust, inside your foundation. Because if it is in your name, Nigerian taxation system is rising. The day they come after you, they will overtax you. That's one. Number two, the internet is so free now. Every document in town planning can be accessed on the net. I can know every house you own. I can know every property you own. I can know it just, I just need to put your name on the system, know how to call up the archives of physical planning, and all your property will show. But if it's in the name of a company you did not discuss with me, I won't know what to look for. Those who want to fight you, they do forensic accounting before they come to fight you. They have already researched you. So when you say, I don't have anything, they have records. May God protect your blessing. May God protect your favor. I said, may God protect what you have. Then the next chapter says, build lasting relationships. Don't forget to look to the future. Don't forget to build your business well. Don't forget, build lasting relationship with your children. Give your children account, but don't give them account without accountability. And then when God prosper you, my brother, do not change your model of wife. Because now you are very rich and all the girls are swarming around you. Don't suddenly now look at your wife and say, where are my ideas safe? This woman no fit executive meetings. And she was the one who was your backbone. And now you want to change the model to a new model. The Bible says, let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. Chapter number 11 says you should write a will. Write a will. Why should you write a will? The reason you should write a will is because a will says what you will want. Recently, a woman who puts her program on television, her daughter, who is 42, died in the U.S. Her daughter has a son. She had to rush to go handle the burial of her daughter.
But unfortunately, her daughter did not write a will and has a six-year-old son. The father of the boy is not there. Now the grandmother wants to bring the boy to Nigeria, but she can't. The boy is an American. America will not allow. So she has to now go to court to prove that she can take care of the boy, one. To prove that the boy is in agreement, two. To prove that she can't find the father of the boy, four. And that he is not in objection. Her daughter did not leave any will. The girl was driving, she had a bad heart. She was driving when she had to park and call 911 before they came. She went to be with the Lord. And the grandmother, loving, and her grandson, loving. The grandson loves her to bits. They are always talking on FaceTime every day while she's in Nigeria. Whenever she's visiting England and America, the boy can't sleep. Gee, mama is coming. The court does not know that. In a few days' time, the court will decide. By the slamming of the mallet on the table, the judge can say, I do not allow. The judge can say, I allow. That's why you write a will. It doesn't mean that you will die. You are only saying, this is how I will want my things handled. My children, my clothing, my car, my house. This should go to that one. If anything were to happen, may you live long. Promise of God for you is 120 years. May you live long. Praise God. And the last chapter says, leave a legacy. Were you blessed today? I said, were you blessed? I said, were you blessed? May I ask you to please stand up, lift your hand and say, Father, I come before you today. Prosper my hand. Prosper my life. Favor me. Let your grace be on my life. I choose to prosper. I choose to increase. I choose to walk in uncommon favor, uncommon blessing, uncommon testimony. I want you to lift your voice and begin to call the blessings of the Lord upon your life. Come and lift your voice. Lirabaka sataya, rekosh kabarande rebokose, radu kobre kares kelim brados arande rebarosi, shtia larabaka sadare de dedos, ande rebokoso teye kakabarara, libro zukaye bakenderoso tele, limbronde embronda likeroso kote. Jesus, we speak your favor today. We speak your blessing today. We declare grace upon grace, favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing, testimony upon testimony, increase upon increase in the name of Jesus. Today is the poorest somebody is going to be. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you. We say it comes to pass. It comes to pass. In Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we thank you. We ask that the heavens open upon your people. Put unusual testimony in their mouth. Father, damage every limitation. Bring them into the fullness of your increase, the fullness of your abundance, the fullness of your purpose for them. Prosper them beyond measure. Lord, prosper them beyond measure. Today I declare and decree into the life of your people, their mouth will be filled with testimony. Amen. Glory will rest on them. Amen. We do thank you. We say it is done. Amen. It is done. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Please be seated. Please be seated. I'd like to share two testimonies and challenge you this morning. Part of the reason God wants to prosper the people of God is for them to make impact in their world. Make a difference. To silence the enemy. To do awesome things for his kingdom. God wants to prosper them. And listen, why does the word say we should raise seed? Because seed, once it leaves your hand, it determines the future. If there's no seed, there's no harvest.
Prayer is great, but God responds to seed. He doesn't respond to need. If God were to respond to need, it's so big that there will be no need on earth. But when he sees seed, he responds. When seed is sown, the atmosphere just needs to be right. The seed will have to grow, even if it's sometimes even in the wrong location. But I pray for you that you will not plant in the wrong place. This is a good ground. Your seed will bear fruit. Shout amen.
Amen.
When seed is sown, harvest follows. Growth follows. One of my cousins is a pastor in CAC. His wife called me and said, your cousin is very ill. You need to rush down. I don't want to be the only one handling this. I was pastoring in Abuja at that time. I rushed there. I had come to Nigeria. Went there to pray for him. As I got there, the moment he saw me, he was excited. He felt well. He sat up. He was happy. I prayed with him. Then he shared one of the most powerful testimonies I have ever heard in my life. This man pioneered a church for CAC in the Egbe area. And suddenly, the woman who leased the land to him said she wants her land back. And she gave him 6 weeks' notice. She had told him she would give him like 6 months' notice, but she said, no, I can't wait 6 months. I want my land back. My cousin pleaded, she would not listen. She threatened. He has another land somewhere in Ikoto. He doesn't have the money to build, and he has 400 people here. What does he do with them? He waited on the Lord for 3 days nonstop. Didn't leave home, didn't leave the room. Cried on the Lord. You know those CAC kind of white fast. 3 days, locked himself up, cried unto the Lord. At the end of the 3 days, as he lied on his bed waiting on his wife to bring something for him to break his fast, his phone rang. Hello? It's a lady on the other side. She is in Los Angeles, California. She said, you don't know me, but write this number down. She gave him a number. It was Western Union. My cousin had never collected Western Union before. Said it in a real funny way. A number, no, boom. She told him where to take it to. He got to somewhere in Marina. They gave him $5,000. My cousin almost fainted. Ran, changed the money, went and started the church. As soon as he built to DPC level, a damp-proof course. The money finished. The woman called again. Gave him another Western Union number. Said, madam, who are you? She said, you don't need to know who I am at the moment. Just write what I have said. He wrote it down. He took it. He got the money. He built to lintel level. The money finished. The woman called again. Madam, please, who are you? He said, just collect the money. They gave him Western Union. He went the third time. Roofed the house, no window, no door. She now called the fourth time with the money again. Said, madam, you really must tell me who you are. For as I talk to you now, he's the chairman of CAC for Ebute Meta area. You really must tell me who you are. The woman said, I don't know you. You don't know me. In fact, I've never met you before. But somebody came to Los Angeles and said, if I need someone in Nigeria who can be praying with me, I should call you. So she gave me your number. I have not needed to call you for anything. That's why I did not call. But in my sleep, Jesus appeared to me and said, send money to that pastor till further notice. I'm praying that somebody will receive some revelation from you. May you also. Somebody will receive revelation for you. I looked at my cousin. I said, the race is not to the swift. I don't know my cousin to be. It's not. It wasn't the giving. It was the grace. So I said, grace. Say louder, grace. Grace will speak for you. Will open doors for you. And shake systems for you. God delivered him from embarrassment, from shame. Gave him a complete building. The woman was put to shame. The God who rises like that will rise for you. Now hear somebody say a better amen. Amen. Second testimony I give, this is so powerful. A young man, we call him Femi Fourscore. A young man, 10 Celestial Church in London. Some of our members began to give my tapes to listen to. He has a hunger for God, but he just stayed in Celestial because that's the church his parents go to. God began to deal with his heart. Then at one point, they gave him my teachings on finance, on business, on breaking through. And before you know, something happened to him. He gave his life to Christ, and he now came looking for me. He said, sir, I've given my life. I'd like you to lay hands on me. God said I should come to you for you to pray for me. I laid hands and prayed for Femi Fourscore. Ladies and gentlemen, in an area of London called Hackney Fields, Femi Fourscore built 12 apartments. He didn't buy, he built. That's not common with Nigerians. He built 12 flats. He sold 9. He kept 3. Came back to me again and said, sir, I want to go to South Africa. Please pray for me. I laid hands on Femi Fourscore, prayed for him. He got to South Africa. Things exploded for him. He built 125 highbrow houses. Single-handedly bought a church building for Winners Chapel, Pretoria, South Africa. From there, he called me, Pastor Matthew. Where are you, sir? Where are you, sir? I said, I'm in Ghana, preaching for Dr. Mensah. He jumped on the plane, flew to Ghana from South Africa. He said, where should I go again? I said, I'm not your financial advisor. He said, you are doing better than them. I laid hands on Femi Fourscore, prayed for him. I said, go back to Nigeria. Femi Fourscore, who left Nigeria struggling. He used to sell shirts and ties. My first time landing in Abuja in 2000 or 2001, I was to speak in Aso Rock. My load went to Jamaica. Femi happened to be on ground in Nigeria. He was the one who quickly that day helped me to get clothes because I had to speak at an all night for Redeem and the following day in Aso Rock. Was one who helped me get clothes. But now God, through just contact and connection, his life began to explode. I said, go back to Nigeria. Femi will buy this land. Somebody will come and offer an unusual amount. You buy that land, somebody will come offer an unusual amount. He ended, sir, building 40 apartments. I think it's on Probin Road in Ikoyi. And 2 penthouses on top. He sold the 40 apartments for $60 million in the days when the property had not fallen. $60 million. $60 million from nothing to zero. I was sharing this testimony in Toronto. A Redeemed Church, Wiley Akinshiku is the pastor. I shared the testimony of Femi Fourscore. When I finished, they took me in the car to go to the hotel. We did not know a car was following us. As soon as we got to the hotel and I came out, some guy parked his Porsche Cayenne and ran and knelt down and said, sir, I went to school with Femi Fourscore. That car is the only thing I have in life. Pray for me. It is.